Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
We haven't got a name for this, but we'll figure it out.
No. It's so you came up with a good one, which was Untitled Banter, Pod. So what we're going to start is our theme song is just going to be UBP, 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 and we'll just have that for a bit, and then hopefully people will just start chanting at us in the streets, throwing oranges.
This can be the start of the recording itself. We'll just go in from here. This is the What Culture Gaming Podcast, Untitled Banter Pod. We try to think of a more specific name. UBP. If we can make this take off, then we'll get it on caps and t-shirts and whatever else we can think of. Yeah. Another edition of the me and Jules, Scott and Jules based thing on a Friday, taking all sorts of community questions. So we've got tons of stuff. There's a bunch of questions from last week that we didn't get to. There's a ton of stuff that came in this week. And we're recording on Thursday, sort of midday-ish, but it'll be going out on Friday. But I wanted to open with, we've got a lot of gaming questions. It's not going to be a food-based podcast, but there are some food ones in here.
otherwise, our bosses will be like, wait a minute, aren't you meant to be doing a gaming podcast?
To be fair, they have teased, not to break any embargoes that also don't exist, but they have talked about potentially some sort of food-based thing in the future.
I know about this. Let's not talk about it. I don't want to talk about it.
I don't know. I think that was more of a joke, but you never know. Anyway, a question from Andros, Star Fox's villain himself. Yeah. The ultimate sandwich, including filling, sauce, and salad, and then we're supposed to argue on which one's better and why. the week after, you bring in the sandwich for each other to try. We could do that if it were in a normal world, but I could mail you a sandwich.
I don't think that it's going to get to me in decent quality. it will definitely be an art piece rather than an edible bit of food.
Oh, that's quite good, though.
But the first thing is, 100%, make sure you toast your bread. I'm a huge fan of toasted bread in the sandwiches. People who go in there with the mushy bread and they're just like, oh, it sticks to the roof of your mouth. Like, what's the point of that? Get it out of there. Get it crunchy. Get it scratchy.
I don't know how obvious this was to the world, but I only realized literally a couple of weeks ago that you can just put bagels in a toaster. I don't know if that's a thing, but it is now.
Do you know what, man? This is as mind-blowing as when you told me the benefits of hummus when you were like, I'm 32, mate. I know about hummus.
That was part of my wedding speech. It was just sort of all the different things that my wife's introduced me to. And I was like, God, I got into hummus. Like, that's brilliant.
But I love that. The way you said it was that I got into hummus. Like, somebody's just like, oh, is this a little thing called jogging? Got me into weightlifting. Got me into hummus. Anyway.
The big emo phase and then hummus. But yeah, the ultimate sandwich, what's your mind go to?
Okay, so I'm a huge, huge proponent of peanut butter. For me, peanut butter in everything. I put it into
sandwich.
I make this African peanut butter stew, and it's absolutely amazing. I put peanut butter on into all of my stir fries that I do as well, because it's the nice basis for a hoisin sauce or something like that. So I would say peanut butter has to be in there, and then I'm going to get crazy. It's Marmite time. It is Marmite time.
Oh, what are you doing? This is not real.
Listen, man, I'm telling people about this before. my girlfriend and I came up with this sandwich, and it is it's peanut butter, Marmite, hot sauce, and then slap it together. I'm not even joking, mate. Don't deny it to me.
Rare is the thing that can
sorry,
make
guys,
me
you
lost
can't see this.
Words.
He almost ripped his headphones off in disgust then.
I love peanut butter as well. I love peanut butter on burgers, like when you go to Five Guys, not Five Guys, the other one, Fat Hippo.
Shout out to Fat Hippo, sponsors of UBP.
I wish. We'd eat a burger every week if we were sponsored by Fat Hippo, which would kill us, but in a good way. But yeah, they do a peanut butter burger, and like, that's brilliant. But whenever you tell anybody peanut butter burger, they always do the face that I just did with you telling me about your hot sauce peanut butter madness concoction. But it's good,
right,
though.
Right, apparently. The defense is that like Marmite is a very, very potent flavor, and it counteracts the sort of sweet and salty nature of the peanut butter. I'm actually salivating thinking about it, which is a bad sign. And then the hot sauce just rings through with that nice like vinegary punch at the end. And you like vinegar.
I mean, to be honest, I love vinegar a lot, but...
Right, you and the missus, you go sit down, you toast yourself some bread, peanut butter, Marmite, a little bit of hot sauce on the top. Could be, if I wanted to do a little recommendation, Frank's Hot Wing Red Sauce, whatever it's called, Red Hot Sauce, pop that on, and then tell me that I'm wrong.
Okay, for you, and I think if anyone wants to try it at home, we'll check back in this time next week. If anyone wants to try what we're going to call this, Jules's Crazy Culinary Experience.
No, we should just call it the Jules, just because it will annoy the my Jules. Girlfriend, Kerry, because of the fact that because she basically came up with it, and I'm just stealing all the credit.
It's toasted bread. It's a single slice of bread. It's toasted bread, peanut butter, hot sauce, and what was your third thing?
Marmite.
And Marmite.
Yeah, don't go too crazy with the Marmite, though. Don't go too crazy with Marmite.
Good Lord. So that's a hell of a thing to open on. I'm very curious about the results. My ultimate sandwich, my mind just went to sausage sandwich. I just don't care. I just want a sausage sandwich. I had one yesterday from Greg's for the first time in like 7 months, and I was like, where have I been? Where have I been? I've been at home not having this sandwich.
Okay, it's fine. Amazing. I'll accept that the sausage sandwich is like red an sauce. Icon of just like British cuisine, but are you a sauce man or no sauce?
Oh, sauce all the way, red sauce all the way. Red sauce. I get the brown sauce contingent, but I'm definitely a red sauce man. But I think it's whatever you were brought up with, whatever your nostalgia is tied to. Mine's definitely red sauce. That's what my dad's always rustling up a sausage sandwich in the morning.
My friend swears down by barbecue sauce in it, and I'm always a bit like, I don't know about that.
Barbecue's very overpowering. At some point, we should talk about video games, to be honest.
Yeah, let's move on.
Sandwiches are good. Sandwich cast. If we can turn this into a sandwich cast, sandwich culture, then maybe we can do it.
Yeah.
You never know. Next question from Morgan Eyes Only. I never know whether that's part of their name or whether it brings in the emoji. Like, it types out the emoji if you copy someone's name in. So, like, I read someone's name out as, like, Wide Eyes. And I was like, that's not their name at all. But Morgan Eyes Only. How do you feel about the whole new generation madness when, in actuality, there's no real need to upgrade yet, as all of the games are continuing to come out on current gen for the foreseeable future? Most of that is true. I mean, Spider-Man Miles Morales is on PS4, if you want to stick to that. Obviously, Xbox's whole thing is that they don't have any exclusives whatsoever. I think that's totally viable if you're not as bothered about 4K resolutions and ray tracing. And well, I guess you would get no yes if you weren't that bothered about 4K stuff, higher resolutions, ray tracing, and you're totally fine with sticking with a lower resolution, and your TV can maybe do something like 60 frames a second, then yeah, like there is no need to drop £500 on something that has always been a luxury purchase anyway.
By the way, I love the fact that you've changed it from £500,000 because somebody called you out on what is £500,000 to £500,000.
I was gonna say half a granny again. I love the old half a granny, dropping half a granny left, right, and center. But it's like, yeah, one person on Twitter was like, what the living hell is this phrase? And then they were like, I've lived in England my whole life and I've never heard it. And I was like, have you though?
They clearly haven't even listened to the Streets album, A Grand Don't Come For Free, because that taught you everything you know. But in terms of the tech jump, I've always been a proponent of just waiting until it settles. I love buying into the hype of these like new consoles, new edition, new tech. But when it comes to the crunch of my wallet taking the absolute punch for it, I'm always a little bit like, well, if I just wait a couple of months, we're coming up to Christmas or January, there'll be a Christmas dealo, there'll be like a little buy this game with a bundle, I'll just wait for a bit. Like, it doesn't kill me. I know that we're games journalists, but like, doesn't mean I have to cover those things. Other people can cover that area.
Other people like me. I mean, I was watching, I tried to get, because we got the PS5, we were lucky enough to get the review version of the PS5. The Xbox just didn't get back to us at all, so it just hasn't, no coverage whatsoever of the Xbox, not for want of trying.
Too busy blowing vape up its own pipes.
Too busy smoking in the corner. Yeah. But I did manage to get a Series X eventually, just clicking refresh on various stock things at 2 in the morning, and I eventually got one. So we will have Xbox coverage going forward. But yeah, I mean, a lot of it for me, it always boils down to like, what are the fundamental experiences that are only on that system for the PS5 and going forward? And like right now, that is literally just Demon's Souls. Because everything else, Sackboy, Miles Morales, like, you know, next year, Horizon, you know, they're going to be on PS4 as well. So it's obviously your own financial situation. Something like Demon's Souls is a hell of a pull for obviously Souls fans, but whether or not you want to throw half a granny at it, that's on you. So I We'll see how it goes. I mean, because we were talking before we started recording about, like, you weren't sure whether to upgrade or not. Do you think you still will?
I think that I will upgrade eventually, but it's a case of I'm not chomping at the bit to get on board with it at the moment. I know that it is related to our work and everything like that, and I will do it for the work's sake. But we have a PS5 for work. We have. Yes. We get, like, there's going to be Xbox coverage as well. Like, it's... The majority of games that aren't exclusives are going to come out for PC anyway. I can play all of them. I don't need to at the moment. I'm waiting for that real system getter to get me hooked. But it doesn't mean that I'm not excited about it. No, not at all.
I would love to do it. If we all play a bit of Demon's Souls, I'd like to sort of talk about that at some point in the future. I think it'll be more of a definitive step up when they literally say everything coming out on PS5 first party is only on PS5. I think that'll be the definitive thing.
Yeah.
It is a weird generation, but I think, you know, they're catering to the past gen and that stuff seems to be working out pretty well. A question from Matt Shaw: can you name your favorite game on each generation, starting with the PS1? We have to do this very quickly.
Okay.
Let's just do whatever comes to mind first. So PlayStation 1.
Ape Escape.
That exactly what I was going to say. I don't know why, but Ape Escape came to... I have no idea why.
You weren't going to say Metal Gear Solid?
Metal Gear Solid. I know you think that I would, but as I said that, my mind went Ape Escape, and I visualized Spike with the little net, and I was like, oh, yeah, I want to do that. I want to play that again.
I want to play it right now.
I've got Ape Escape 2 on my PS5. It's one of the PS2 games that worked on PS4, so it works on PS5. Okay, PlayStation 2. Metal Gear Solid 2.
Oh, that's a good shout for you. What, not Metal Gear Solid 3?
No, I would take 2 over 3 for me personally. I think I'd prefer the story, even though 2 is mental.
I would probably say my favourite game of the PS2 that I had the most fun with was either Silent Hill 2 or Zone of the Enders. What a game.
For the whole gen. That game has very pronounced cockpits, let's say, which I didn't notice as a child. Hideo Kojima, complete mad lad. Like, just massive mechs with huge erections that we just didn't notice when we were kids.
In fact, I've just realised that why I thought of those two at the same thing. I'm pretty sure that if you bought Zone of the Enders, didn't you get a demo of Silent Hill 2?
You got a demo of Metal Gear Solid 2.
Oh, that was what it is. The train of command has gone Metal Gear Solid 2, Zone of the Enders, and then Konami, Kojima.
Actually, I guess people are asking, like, you know, it was like, oh, favorite game from each gen, and we're sort of just focusing on PlayStation. Do you have a favorite Xbox game? Mine just be Halo.
Yeah, it will either be Halo.
Halo 1.
I don't know. It definitely wasn't Halo 2. I'll tell you that much.
Why not Halo 2?
Halo 2 was like the amazing multiplayer experience, but I really didn't like the story. That's just my personal opinion. I'm really struggling to think of the Xbox exclusives.
Mad Dash Racing.
No. Kung Fu Chaos.
The game that has aged the worst, but I also loved that when I was younger. Yeah. Like, oh my God. That both do and do not go back to that game. That thing has not aged very well.
It's like going back to Hogs of War and realizing that Rick Mail is in it, and you're like, oh, that's amazing. And then you realize, oh, that's some really dodgy racist accents that he's doing. Yeah. I don't think I can like this. Ooh.
There's a hell of a lot of that in Kung Fu Chaos. I think if we continue to go through all the generations, it might take the rest of the pod. So I'm gonna say one more console at you.
Sure.
And then we'll pick a different thing. I think let's go with PlayStation 4.
Either going to be God of War, just because I thought that it was just absolutely phenomenally good. Or Spider-Man. Spider-Man was so good. I really enjoyed that.
Beautiful shouts. Mine would also be God of War 2018. It's a hell of a thing. Next question from Jacob Wright. Do you have a go-to meal when you're having a serious gaming sesh? Mine is chicken wings. And then it's pulled some emojis in. It says face savoring food. I don't know what emoji that is.
That's just another user name.
I think I'm just going
face savoring food.
Just something he loves eating. I think I'm going to read out all the emojis if you want to leave more emojis in your names.
But chicken wings
feels like it would grease the hell out of the controller.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well. Unless you're very careful about that, you're getting it everywhere. It's going to have hot sauce all over it as well. I assume I would go for, had them recently. Wasabi peas or peanuts, just because that little spicy kick you get just keeps you in the zone.
But you've not had enough of your hot sauce toast.
You're just like...
That's the standard Demon Souls or Souls based face anyway, trying to get to a game like that. Yeah. I when I was younger, used to eat a lot of pizza with games because it's almost stereotypical. It's like, I'll have a game in sesh, get a pizza in. But you just can't do that because pizza is a very hand based food. And for me, it's just super greasy. Like, I just don't, I'm too weird with all the grease and, like, you know, those little cracks in the controller that get filled up with, like, gunk over time. I don't want to expedite that process whatsoever. So I don't really have one. I'm terrified of eating alongside food. I wash my hands like multiple times before before I go back to the controller. I just don't want that. It would be pizza in theory, but I just don't. It freaks me out too much.
Especially with the new PS5 controller with all the little tiny indents on it. You just don't want to get them like stuck.
Oh my God, man. I mean, maybe I'm just an absolute grimy bugger, but like playing the DualSense quite a bit, looking at the back of it, there's already little bits of stuff stuck in between those tiny little mini symbols that are on the back of that controller. It's only going to get worse.
Well, this is the thing. Do you not remember? Yeah. We were talking ages ago about how Sony were going to capture all of your DNA information. This is how they do it. They scrape it off. They scrape it off and it's sending the your skin cells over to Sony.
Just growing fanboys left, right, and center who are just proclaiming Detroit's the best game ever. We've successfully done, what, three questions? Let's do... How many more have we got? A lot more, Jules.
Oh,
I'm going to say that we're just going to roll over any questions that we get into the following week. So we've always got a little question bucket. Thanks everybody for submitting stuff. If we don't get to something on a given week when we ask for it, we'll get to it the week after.
You've called it a question bucket. Can we upgrade it to a take trough?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We can, yes. The take trough is the name of me, to be honest, for the most part.
Nice.
Feast from the take trough. Next question from an average human. What's your favorite game you never finished? Also, how does Superman get his hair cut?
Yeah, because obviously he's the Man of Steel.
You just can't. But it just doesn't, maybe it just doesn't grow past the optimum length because he's...
You know what?
He can do anything.
I bet you anything that the comics have explained it as such. Like, he
literally...
What do you
do with kryptonite scissors? Kryptonite scissors would cut right through it, I think.
Wouldn't they make him like really weak, like, and sickly? So every time
he gets
his
haircut,
it's like...
Yeah, but no one likes getting
their haircut anyway. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I reckon kryptonite scissors. Just a little bit, just a few little specks of kryptonite in a pair of scissors. Just enough to get through some hair without making him ill.
Because I'm pretty sure, didn't they like find a strand of Superman's hair and it was like holding up a giant weight? Isn't that part of one of the films? Like, it's like shows how like durable his body is.
That reminds me of something that I can't place. Was that not in real life?
Isn't it like Superman Returns where there's like a 10-ton weight being held up on one of his pubes?
I feel like someone did that as a piece of art in real life, but I can't think of it now. I don't know. I don't know.
Best game we've never finished, though.
Mm. Persona 5 for me, because
I was gonna say the same thing. Like, I really tried to get through it, and I got to about 70 hours through it, and then I told the fan base that I was like getting where I thought pretty close to the end. They were like, haha, nice one, mate. 100 hour plus. And I was like, I've got to get on with other stuff.
Yeah, coming off Persona 4, Persona 4 is my favorite one. I just think it has that murder mystery drive is just so great, and I loved seeing it through. I love the characters so much, and like 5 just doesn't have that. Like, I love the world, I love the music, but like I didn't get gripped by it. And there's one bit where the guy that you're chasing after, this dude in bright orange glasses, walks past the main character, and then I was like, oh my god, this is gonna be it. We're gonna do something cool. And then one of your sidekick dudes just says like, I think that guy looks familiar, and I'm like, he's the guy that we need for the whole story. Yeah. And then like 30 hours went by and I was like, oh god, nah, I can't keep doing this. So yeah, definitely Persona 5 for that.
I'm trying to think anyway, if there's any other one. Maybe Xenogear Chronicles 2. I got into it, but I just never saw it through. And I knew it was a really enjoyable game. I just didn't have enough time to finish it.
Yeah, I guess it'd be stuff like definitely Persona, but I think anything that is like a gargantuan Ubisoft game where you play it for like 20, 30 hours and then you get out the tutorial and then it's just like, I'm never going to go back to the Assassin's Creed Odyssey. You just never got through the whole thing.
Mate, do you remember how long Akami's tutorial was? That was like 3 hours long. Anyway, right, that was
some say
point.
It's still going on to this day. Next question from Dot Pwn. If you could completely erase something from gaming history, what would it be? You know what my mind went to there is PT. And I love PT, but because we're never going to get it, I don't know if I would, for some reason, my brain saved up PT there. Like, I would always, clearly my inbuilt nature is that it's not better to have loved and lost and never loved at all. It's better to just erase the love altogether.
I'd get rid of hatred.
From there. The hatred game.
Yeah, hatred video game. Like, it comes up in lists sometimes, and I have to tell either the author or I rewrite the section just because I don't want to give that game any more publicity than it deserves. No. It's an absolute piece of trash. I hate it. It's for water cooler masturbators and edgelords, and it's just, that's just my opinion. If you like it, then
I'm pretty sure that is factually correct.
More bloody power to you, but the fact that it's allowed to be sold on Steam and along with some other very questionable titles is just interesting. Anyway,
it's a hell of a thing. It felt like a callback to sort of 90s like shock horror gaming, like before the ESRB, where it was just, let's just see what we can get away with. Let's just play a genocide simulator.
It was Postal, the Postal games, if they took themselves seriously, and that is not whatever those games should be doing.
No, it was a hell of a thing. I think in terms of what I would actually get rid of, it would be Goddess. It would be Peter Molyneux's campaign for Goddess, because just so much wasted money. He never went through on any of the... There was all the stuff with Brian, whatever he was called, the dude that won the competition, playing that Curiosity game. Just a complete mess. In fact, I would get rid of that. I love what Peter Molyneux brings to the industry in regards to an auteur. I love auteurs. I love creativity. Yeah. Let it go free. Hideo Kojima. But you need to pay off if you're going to ask for that much money. And Molyneux just sort of slinked into the background, took his money and sort of... went away. So yeah, my shout would be something like Goddess.
Oh, he's the ultimate hype man, isn't he?
Oh my god, get him out with Pendulum. All of the ultimate hype men, just get him on the stage. Next question from Steve. He's talking about Ghost of Tsushima's Legends expansion. How did Sucker Punch manage to do in one stab for free what the developers who made Avengers, Destiny, and Anthem totally failed at? Also, why did they release it for free, as many of us would have gladly paid for it? Have you seen this, that Ghost of Tsushima has a free sort of like mass
mode.
Multiplayer? Yeah, co-op mode. And it is totally in the same vein as Avengers, Anthem, and stuff, other than Sucker Punch didn't talk about it at all until after all the reviews, and then we're just like, hey, by the way, here's this nice, free, awesome thing that isn't leeching you at all.
You know what? That you think you've just summed up completely well. It's just that some companies have a different approach to what they want. Mm. If you think about it, as we said on our last banter podcast, the Avengers game,
it's
owned by Disney. They're going to want to do money first, quality second, and then it's just that's the route that the game took from the ground off. But when it comes to things like the Sucker Punch's approach to it, they wanted to make the game first, and then they just were like, yeah, let's just mess around and do some more content. It's the same with Yacht Club. They basically released a load of stuff like for free, didn't they? Same with some aspects of CD Projekt Red when they released a lot of other bits for free as well, because they continued to support what people loved and did it for as low a price as possible.
Yacht Club's thing is they're the Shovel Knight devs. Like, that stuff came from the Kickstarter, and they made so much money that they then had to reallocate it towards various other character campaigns, but they did then go sort of the extra mile and do even like this little mini Smash Brothers type mode and stuff like that.
Apparently that's amazing.
It's ridiculous. It's really hard, but I'm not very good at Smash anyway.
Yeah.
So it is just a big old mess. And then in the middle of the kerfuffle, someone flies out to the side and it's like, oh, I guess I won or lost. Like, it's just, that's every Smash experience for me anyway. I think that they're like Jules said, their heart's in the right place. And although it was clearly in development alongside the main campaign, I think that based on how much negative press a lot of those games as a service titles get, they just sort of like bode their time and were just like, here you go, enjoy it if you want. It's alongside the game and whatever. Next question from Greg. Favorite non-Final Fantasy PlayStation RPG? Can be any PlayStation, not just PS1.
Does it have to be PlayStation?
Any PlayStation, not just PS1.
Because I
really like the Grandia series, but I think I was just super young. Legaia as well. But I mean,
Kodelka was a pretty good RPG. It's a horror RPG. It wasn't like the most polished game, but it was very fun and engaging. Then you got Legend of Dragoon is absolutely outstanding. Would totally recommend people. Vagrant Story.
PS1 one.
Vagrant, what other ones are there that I've been banging on about recently? Resonance of Fate. I know it's not a PS1 exclusive or PlayStation exclusive, but it is amazing. Mm. It's the one where you get to do like... the acrabatics and shoot people in the air when you're jumping.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. There was a one where you had like Uzis and machine guns and everything. I'm a sucker for turn-based stuff. I know that like Final Fantasy itself has gone back and forward on whether they want to do turn-based stuff, and like Final Fantasy 7 kind of blurs it pretty well there, the remake. But I had a whole thing during the PS2 where I was like, give me every single JRPG. Just getting the most budget stuff possible.
Speaking of turn-based combat, you got the new Yakuza, didn't you?
I did. Oh, yeah, because it's sounding so good.
Are we allowed to talk about it? Is it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
perfect. So, because that's got turn-based combat in as well. Is that a good RPG?
It's oh man, that's a hell of a loaded question. I think that it's yes, but like it's just that it's strange because I love Yakuza. It's one of my favorite franchises. So going into 7, it's like you can tell how they've made that combat work for a turn-based model. It's like you're taking all those fight animations. They've added a hell of a lot, but you're taking the general idea of like, you know, like sizing up opponents, rotating around them, like what you would do in a brawler, except that now you're popping up a menu on top of people and selecting a command, and then your guy's like running in, doing the punch, running in, doing the grapple or doing the move.
So kind of like a lot of cutaways, but is it kind of like the Final Fantasy 12 combat system?
No, it's still like a turn-based thing. It's just that like characters aren't static on both sides of like a line. It's just they're still moving as if they were brawling. It's just that they don't do an animation until you trigger them. So like I guess in regards to it being an RPG, like there's the whole job system that like I think is solid enough. It changes your animations up, but like it depends. Like a lot of people obviously want to stat crunch and sort of look into specific character builds, and it doesn't necessarily favor that too much. You're sort of like you're kind of locked in. Like one character is a brawler type, and they're going to kind of stay that way. Okay. So it's, I don't know, but I love Yakuza. That series is all, it's the tone, it's living in those locations. Like there's a whole new like city in this one to get lost in. There's go-karts, it's great.
Man,
it's
I really want to play that.
I would totally recommend it. We've got a few minutes left.
Sure.
Mr. Ewan Callister, do you think that Microsoft can pull a PS3 with the Series X? Everyone forgets that the PS3 was pretty much a dud for its first few years on the market, but by 2009, that changed as it started getting amazing exclusives. Can this strategy be replicated?
Their no approach to exclusives. I mean, we have yet to obviously see what happens with the Bethesda buyout and things like that, whether or not that will lead to exclusives for the Xbox Series X. But as it stands right now, it seems like it's not even the business model that they're trying to go for.
No.
They're not going down the exclusive route. They're going for accessibility and other avenues of revenue. That seems
they
want to
be Netflix. They want to be Netflix for games.
Well, as they said before with the whole sort of like sports from a couple of years ago, this is always going to be their approach. They love their mainstream culture, Microsoft, and so why would they not try everything possible to try and chase it? Exclusives
it's
for them
because...
aren't... as important, it seems, at the moment.
Yeah, that's the thing. They sort of said they don't expect any series-based exclusives for 3 to 4 years. The PS3 thing, I think, already doesn't necessarily line up because the PlayStation 3 wasn't revealed under any sort of positive press. Like it was Sony saying that you're going to want to get an extra job to pay for it. And it was just this completely hubristic, ridiculous, you know, reveal where they were just like, where they're coming off the PS2 and they were just super full of themselves. And it really showed. Whereas I think it's strange saying that like obviously a massive corporate entity is humble, but I feel like with Phil Spencer at the front of it, Xbox have kind of just been like, we've taken a battering, we've got a new idea for the generation. It's based around giving you as many titles as possible for a nice monthly fee. And just if you enjoy it, you enjoy it. If you don't, go play wherever else you want. And I think that like that seems to be working for them. Like it depends what you come to gaming for. Like I want exclusives. I want new stuff. I don't just want upgraded libraries. So I think that like there is that. But I think it'll pull back a lot of the like overall momentum once it starts getting Halo Infinite and you get new Fable and stuff like that.
I just hope that it doesn't turn into a debate over quantity versus quality, because Sony definitely seem to be going for the quality of their exclusives and Microsoft seem to be going for the quantity of the games you will be able to play full stop. And I just hope that that doesn't mean that they turn into the new Atari of the 2020s, you know, like having this like glut of games that are passable, which brings the curve down of all of the other ones, that it makes it harder for them to stand out as well.
There's a lot of like major questions with like what because there's a few devs that came out after the Xbox Series S and the X got revealed just saying like, look, we have to develop for two different SKUs now. We're not just developing for the next Xbox. We're developing two things alongside. And so I think that needs to shake out in a more, I'm curious to see what happens. Like what is, you know, if you're a new dev and you're developing just for the Xbox Series consoles, what do you have to sacrifice to make it work on the S, or what can you not do? Like, because you need to try and make something work on both systems.
That is an excellent point.
I'm curious with that stuff.
Because it's always quite scary when you think about to be honest, every time that a decision is made like this to split the homogeny of a console base and how you develop games for those consoles, what you're actually doing is further down the line directly impacting us, the consumer, because costs will spiral out of control. New systems will need to be implemented that will either affect the gameplay quality because there won't be enough time to work on it and to make it different enough to like to work with both consoles, or it will be a case where we have to pay the spiraling costs of the AAA video games because they'll up the amount of cost, the cost of the base game, or they'll chuck it full of microtransactions to make back the cost of developing on two consoles effectively.
I think that there's a lot more questions around, like I'm fascinated and adore what Microsoft are doing in regards to just like, here's Game Pass, here's EA Play on top of it, here's, you know, we don't care where you play as long as you're playing on Xbox in some form. It can even be on your phone, just get the Game Pass app and you can stream stuff in. I think that stuff's all fascinating, and I think that it goes right up against Sony's more traditionalist approach, where like they're doing a new system with exclusives, but obviously they pulled some of that back in response to what Xbox are doing and making sure that Spider-Man is available on PS4 and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I just think, I think it's going to shake out quite interestingly going forward. But in terms of comparisons to the PS3, I would fundamentally say that I think the Series X has been received a hell of a lot warmer than the PS3 was. And like the Series X selling out across the board is pretty indicative of just the general goodwill that is towards Microsoft right now.
Well, neither console seems to have... they haven't hit the ground running at full steam yet, but neither of them have stumbled out of the gate. So that's always a good sign.
They're definitely committed to like both sides of this approach to the industry, which is just fascinating because we've never seen companies do this before, like just try and go for such completely opposite approaches to getting your money. We have a few more questions, but we'll roll them into the, what did you call it? The take trough for next week. we will resume extracting things from the take trough next week. But thank you guys all very much for submitting questions, for checking out our Friday podcast, which we're going to go with the Untitled Banter Pod, at least for this week. We might think of something else next week. But for now, Ivan Squad from occulture.com, thank you very much, Mr. Jules Gill.
Thank you very much for having me, mate.
I will catch you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.